Hey, hockey fans. Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Go to Dutch.com to get vet care that is always there for just $92 a year.
This book made me realize why people like Wheel of Time.
I thought all of the characters were good. Often in a large cast of characters, you'll have some standouts and some that really kind of drag. This one, no one dragged. I read this book and went, man, this is an Austin book. Right here.
Feel toward droids and
Druids.
You keep saying droids,
and they're not droids.
Druids. I'm not trying to. It's one of those.
Welcome everyone to the Tutor Around Podcast. My name is Richard.
My name is Austin.
Today we're doing another book review. The Lost War by Justin Lee Anderson. This is one of the books from the Contest of Champions for SPFBO.
Yeah.
I got the acronym right this time.
Nice.
Second time's a charm. So we're going to be reviewing this book for the first 10, 15-ish minutes. It'll be spoiler-free. Maybe you guys, get some more information whether you want to read it or not. Then after that, we'll give you a spoiler warning. Full spoilers after that. Alrighty. You want to give us some background details?
Yes. So being a part of this Contest of Champions, this is the 9th one we have read, and it's the winners of the past years of the self-published fantasy blog off. We're going to rank this as well as we give our rating for this book. This was an indie book published by Justin Lee Anderson that eventually was picked up by Orbit in 2023. This book was published in 2019, but a lot of these winners or the ones submitted into the competition will end up getting picked up by Trad Publishing from being so successful with maybe a boost from the competition. So that's one of the highlights and examples of what can happen being in the SPFBO, which is so cool to see. And so there's currently 3 books out in what this is called the Eden series. I'm not sure if it's a trilogy or if more are coming, but 3 are currently out. And this was submitted in the 2020 competition, the SPFBO 6. So it was the winner of that year, and that's why we're giving a review and judging it to see, is it better or worse? What is it better or worse than in the ones we've previously ranked? And I will say, it's higher for me. I really enjoyed it. The Lost War is a recommend from me. And we'll say exactly why. But yes, Rich, do you want to start off with, let's give a spoiler-free push for what is the book about?
Yeah, sure. So this book takes place in the aftermath of a war. The war is over. And now our main characters kind of have to deal with the aftermath and the final remnants and the little bits and bobs that come with ending a war. So we get our main character sent. Well, there's many main characters, but I'd say our central character, Aranok, the king's advisor, is put on a mission.
His envoy.
And the envoy has to go on a mission. And he gets forced together with a ragtag group of guys and gals, and mystery ensues, hijinks ensue, and I don't want to give, I guess, too much more away. Other than, for the spoiler-free section, the thing that grabbed me, the hook from the beginning, is even though the world itself feels fairly traditional, fantasy worlds, stuff that you've seen before, nothing too wacky. The actual characters and the positions that they're in feel fairly fresh. I will give something from the very get-go, just this chapter one type of deal, and something that interested me quite a bit is our main character has, instead of a romance being the, like, will they, won't they, oh, will they get together this throughout the whole book, at this one, it starts with our two of our main characters are already together. They're a couple. And so
that's Aronach and Alandria.
Hmm. And so instead of seeing this romance as it develops, it's more of a, how is the romance tested? That's what you get in the very beginning. And I appreciate that. I'm like, oh, this is a little bit different. This is offside the norm. Same thing with the regular details of what the plot is and the type of characters you get from this story. That was the big hook in the beginning.
The really fun thing about this book, so it's more classic fantasy feel, a little different, but it's more classic fantasy. You go on this adventure with a group of characters. There's the mission to, hey, get this message here for our main character. And then there's more that happens throughout that story, of course. But the thing that keeps you interested in the mystery going is there's just a lot of oddities that happen as you're reading the book of, okay, this will connect somehow later. I'm sure there's an odd thing that doesn't get addressed in the plot. Another odd thing. And there's all these happenings of you think there are a lot of subplots, and it all gets tied together perfectly. It does an amazing job at closing that together without saying what it is. But I think this is one of those books that for me was very enjoyable. It was enjoyable to read, but the ending also elevates the book. It's one of those that even if you're just liking the book or you want to DNF early on, I think this one is extremely important to finish all the way through, because for many people, for me, it will maybe just raise your ratings or thoughts of it just on the final few chapters without saying anything more than that. It's one of those books. You know, when you read that and go, oh, that ties it together. So keep that in mind. But otherwise, some people might feel it's more derivative. I wouldn't even say that. They had enough fun and the characters were alive enough that it plays on that classic fantasy in a really nice way. And also having this war that just finished, there's a lot of the intrigue of what was this war about, what happened. So it starts with a lot of mysteries. And yes, we don't get the enemies to lovers or the friends to lovers tropes. They're already together, which is a neat difference as well.
I appreciated that dynamic in exploring their existing relationship and the tension that can come across in that scenario. Mm-hmm. Was more enjoyable to see of just something a little different out of the fantasy genre.
What do you think some similar books are? What type of reader would like this? Is there anything you can think of in that very small noggin of yours?
In the very small noggin, there's only a handful of ideas bouncing around in this cranium.
You only have three books in your head at once.
Exactly.
The past three reads.
How can I relate this to Wheel of Time? I can do it. It's a cast of characters in a classic fantasy world. Oh my God.
You just did it again.
I did it again. Oh. No, I can relate everything to Wheel of Time. It is everything. But no, honestly, yes. Classic fantasy, mm-hmm. Wheel of Time. I would say if you're a big fan of John Gwen's Book of the Fallen, this is definitely one to pick up. I would also say, as far as the... if you're a fan of Brent Week's Lightbringer series, this would be, again, caveat being, I've read the ending, I'm also disappointed. If you've read the first book and you absolutely loved it and felt sad at the end of the series, read this book. It's got some of that Brent Weeks charm when it comes to plotting. So I'll say that.
Lovely. This was also judged in the SPFB06 in 2020. And the other judges that rated this, the ranges of scores were from at the lowest 7 to the highest 9.5. A lot of them were 8.5s and 9s for the most part. But that is why I ended up winning. The average score from that year was 8.35 out of 10. And you'll also see the averages there that at the highest, I think 8.65 with sort of Kaigen and Orconomics was the highest. So on the higher end of that. And yes, so Rich, is it our time now for our spoiler-free rating?
The actual real rating.
The Rambler rating.
The Rambler rating.
What did you give it out of 5 stars?
I gave it a 3.5. I think it's good. This is a good book.
I give it a 4. Great.
Fantastic.
This is a great book, and the ending does elevate it, but I think this was just an enjoyable ride, and I think we can actually now tally together before we give more of what does this rank. So Easy math, 7.5 total, right?
You got it right this time.
Yes. That looks like it gets fourth right behind Orkonomics because that total was 7.75 with me giving it a 4, you giving it a 3.75. So this is The Lost War is currently fourth.
So we have Sword of Kaigan, By Blood by Salt,
Orkonomics,
The Lost War.
Yes. That is it. And then we have five books below that, and we'll see where the 10th one lands. And once we do the 10th one, we could see if there's any organization to do or
anything we want to adjust.
Change. Yes. Yes. But that is okay. That is fourth currently overall. And anything you want to say in the spoiler-free section as well on top of that?
I do want to say, as soon as I finished this book, yeah, I knew you were really going to like it. I read this book and went, man, this is an Austin book right here.
Mm.
So I knew this was to your taste.
You know what helps with that too is, so you can check out our total scores right down below on screen. My highest category was plot. That is the standout for me, and I think people that love a very satisfying ending, that is what you're going to get out of this book.
Yeah, there was tied for me of plot and world, I think, are my favorites of this. My lowest was themes. However, it did not get in the way, really, of this story. It's a very small aspect. It was my lowest category, but did not affect my overall enjoyment.
Likewise, theme was one of my lowers, and also prose, but doesn't get in the way, just more... Yeah, it's not a feature of it, though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, spoiler time. Are you ready?
Spoiler warning.
Spoiler warning. You've been warned. Click off if you've not read or don't want to continue with spoilers for The Lost War. Go check it out in the description down below if you want to go read the book. All right?
All right.
So,
spoilers. Plot snapshot.
Yes.
Rapid fire. We're leaving out a lot of details, but we're going to, just to catch you up if you haven't read this book in a while. So, we have our main cast of characters here. Aranok, Alandria, Glorbad, Neria.
Neria.
Vastin, the blacksmith boy, Mariston, and Samily. All of them are on a mission from the king to go rescue this queen and ally, and they're going out there. Hijinks along the way. Roughly around the midpoint is when Mariston and Vastin become infected by the blackened, but they find out, actually, they can cure it. They can cure this plague. And so, to do so...
Because they figure out it's a curse.
It's one of the not droids a disease. Doing,
yes. A possible necromancer. Right.
And to do so, the team must split up. And so we have Aranok, Alandria, and Samily go off to try and cure the blackened, while you have Mariston, Neria, and... Yeah, Glorbad, stay behind to actually complete the mission from the king. We find out that's actually a trap. Demon cows out, kills Glorbad, but then we find out on the Aranok side that the king, the enemy king, the evil druid that actually has caused this war.
Minin-Gog, I believe is how you say his name.
Minin-Gog,
it looks like an evil name.
It's a really evil name.
It looks evil.
Is actually the real true king, and that their king that sent them on the mission, King Janus. Did I get that right?
Janus, I believe.
Janus is actually the evil druid that's manipulating everyone. He's a mind druid and changed everyone's memories.
Mm.
So, the Lost War, the title of the book, is they lost the war, and everyone kind of forgot that they lost the war. And into book two, it's now another revolution, another rebellion.
With the actual true king and his actual friend.
Aranok.
Aranok's actual friend, because his entire memory was wiped and changed. So, All right, let's get into it now. Emotional impact, would you give it out of 5 stars?
3.75. Awesome. Really good.
I gave it a 4 stars. Great.
What were some of the highlights for you?
So big ones for me. It's a very plot-driven book. The out loud, the whoa moment for me was the reveal at the end with the twist of it being actually your memory's been wiped. All of your friend's memories have been wiped and your friend is actually your foe and your foe is actually your friend. And why it hit as a great revelation too is how throughout the book, every seed was there. You're asking questions about, why when Alandria, she smells this thing and it reminds her of that? That's just like a weird thing. And what do you mean? Why is there just armor on the ground? What's up with that? And there's all these threads that you think are just there for something maybe in book two or book three. But then when that moment happened for me, that was a whoa. That was a whoa moment for me. That was a creative way to pull it together. And it was satisfying because I was, here's another part of it too, the quest part of this. The emotional pull for the book was good and I was enjoying these characters. But all right, defeat big bad guy. All right, I felt like I knew where this was going. I felt that I thought, oh, I defeat the bad guy. Cool. Min and Gog sounds evil. Go get him. And then when it wasn't that, was so satisfying. And go, now I'm curious to read book two. It was very smart to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was my moment. Of course, was that big one for you, I imagine, as well?
Yeah, that was the most, like, wow moment.
That was a wow moment, yeah.
However, what was your thoughts on Minigog and King Genius going into it? Did you think King Genius was a villain at one point?
When they discovered that the mission they were going to wasn't actually it's already been taken over, and we find out Morrentown was actually, because Genius doesn't want Anorak to go back to his hometown because he says it's destroyed. And when he finds out it's not, there's that question of what's going on here. Why is he lying? I still didn't think straight up villain or the mind changer droid of the group. I didn't put the, because we didn't have that information yet. I assumed at that point, oh, he's plotting something that he doesn't want to tell his friend. My assumption, he doesn't want to tell his friend something because there's more that his friend doesn't understand. I didn't think it would be he's actually the enemy. That surprised me.
From the beginning, I thought he was the secret enemy, but I thought we were going to get a reveal of it was King Genius and Maragog. These names are going to
hurt. Minigog, I believe.
Minigog. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that they actually work together. That this is one of those, like, double fake hero, like, they're working both sides of the same coin to actually get to victory. And so, like, they're both playing the same thing. And my main evidence in my head for it was constantly mentioning that Minigog is the only druid ever to have two skills. And I'm going, is it two skills or more than likely... It's two people.
Two people doing it, yeah.
And our good king is actually the other druid. And I thought they were kind of working together,
right.
And so that was going to be the actual twist ending. This was also interesting. So
yeah.
I was pretty sure that the main king was a bad guy. But I liked this twist. It was fun.
Yes. What moment stuck out for you? You thought it was really good. Did you think anything else stood out as an emotional pull? What was the book going for? Let's go with that, too. What do you think the idea was?
Oh, adventure and mystery. Also, it did have a good amount of cozy fantasy-esque time. Like, we had plenty of time with our characters. It wasn't... Our characters on this mission are not very rushed, typically. Like, it's not... you know, edge of your seat being dragged to the next plot point. Like, they have time to spend with each other. You get enough moments between them in taverns while they're staying the night. You feel a little bit more with these characters as they come together as a group. But I do think this is going for that mystery internal drama stuff. So
yeah,
I liked all the stuff between Aranok and Alondria. That dynamic between them was a lot of the emotional pull for me. I liked seeing their relationship being tested in this book.
Their fake relationship being
tested. Which, that's a choice. And
where's that going to go in book two?
Real grody, real grody stuff. Real grody stuff. But because then you add on Raza part. The book was heavily emphasizing how much Aranok was attracted to Raza. And I'm like, ooh, is this going to be a little...
Raza, the
changeling.
Yes, the changeling.
Yeah.
The tutor of his niece.
Yes. So I thought there was going to be something there, or that was a seed planted for some relationship drama in book two, which will probably still be a thing in book two, I imagine. I imagine Raza's going to be alive. But point being, that was a pull for me. Also, another standout scene was when the Samily Aranok and Alandria went back in time to got they got to see the old Druy being, you know, killed and for being a witch, and then the other time Druy massacring everyone in the village. I thought that was a really well done scene all put together.
Each time she went back in time, it was a great moment of her seeing the plot unfold of the villain character Wire, the W guy, who poisons their cups, and then she sees them die and then goes back in time. Also when her relationship with Mariston, and that was a good moment too, where you see him and Vastin have the black and have the plague essentially, and her emotional pull toward him was great. So a lot of that we got to sit with the characters a lot. So it built up, and so I was very invested, and especially it was widespread too. It wasn't that I was focused on one character or just one area and just super. I wasn't super invested in just one thing. It was just more of an interest all around.
I liked the entire cast of characters. I was invested in all of them. There wasn't a heavy lean any of them. If I had to pick one character that maybe we didn't get a lot of attention to, but I would say it's probably the pair Neria and Glorbad. But I think they both, I was invested in both of them.
We'll get more into their characters when we get there, but I get what you mean. As far as just emotionally,
I was feeling attached to these characters. Those were some of the standout scenes for me. The ending, of course. Most of the stuff with Samily brought a lot of the emotional tension. Her with that you're talking about with Mariston, and then Aranok and Alandria scenes.
Even the quiet moments too. You're talking cozy fantasy where he goes. We see his family quite a bit. We see his dynamic with his sister and his niece and his brother-in-law.
That was heartwarming.
It's very heartwarming to. Yeah,
that's another change of I liked from this fantasy is how many different fantasy characters were the main character, like they're in, you know, their family dies and if their family's dead, like they have a terrible relationship with their family. Aranok has like a testy relationship with his family, clearly not a great relationship with his father, but his father's alive at least,
right?
Has good mother, likes his sister gets a, like
there's that knucklehead his brother-in-law that he doesn't like and he lets him know.
Yeah.
But beyond that,
which I will say that scene is definitely man, you're really not helping. And now, should he have to? But I'm just looking at Aranok is the, beat your head into a wall till the wall breaks down type of guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking if he's trying to alleviate the fear that his brother-in-law has of Druy and of him in particular. That's probably not the way to do it, but should he have to? But we'll get into that in themes later.
Yeah. But yeah, as far as that goes, I felt the adventure. Mm-hmm. Also, the action scenes were fun too.
They're pretty fun.
Several action scenes where I had a fun time with it. If anything more of, nothing I hated, but just if we could emphasize more of when Glorbad dies, for example.
Yeah,
that was a good. I wanted to hit a little bit more. And maybe the reason for that was because of when the cast separated a little bit. I loved him and Aranok's back and forth a lot. And he died without Aranok being there. And it just left a little bit of that, what I cared about in their relationship and that dynamic would have been interesting. Because you saw them start to develop.
Mm-hmm.
And he started to respect Aranok a little bit. And it, even though he started off really disliking him. And that would have been a cool moment. But since they were separated, it didn't get the punch that would have happened if they were together. So something like that. But otherwise, not a complaint. Just didn't wow. But there was the death scenes worked overall.
Yeah. I also do want to say what a good choice it is, I think, emotionally speaking, that with Samily's time powers, especially by the end, that we don't get to be in her perspective when she actually rewinds time all the time. I appreciate that, one of the final battles against the demon, after we get to see the battle, she tells them, now we had to do that three times. Oh, that feels a little bit better, because I can imagine if we were in Samily's POV every time she goes back in time, it can feel a little
Same-ish.
Yeah. It could feel, it removes some of the tension.
Yeah.
In this one, like, I get the illusion of that tension.
Mm-hmm.
But then the aftermath going like, oh, actually, they died a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
I think that worked well.
Yeah. Anything else for emotions? Or want to go to...
No. Let's move on to themes.
Thought-provoking. Would you give it out of 5 stars?
2.5.
Disappointed?
Disappointed, yeah.
I get 3.25, so I'm all good.
Yeah. There's a handful of stuff that I... Almost into flawed. Almost. But I think the rest... So... Some of the themes I think are fundamentally flawed, but then others work fine. The stuff that works well is mainly Aranok and being able to trust the people around him and learning, hey, don't do everything yourself. Works well. He has to lean on his team members and learns to work as a group. We've seen it before. Works pretty well. Before we get into like my big complaint, what did you think the central themes were, and what worked well for
you? A couple of central ones, yeah, somewhat good. So I think that it touched on some themes that I'm interested to see how they go in book two. I'm gonna read book two eventually. Mm-hmm. I'm hooked on it. Couple of big ones. One is the theme of prejudice, and the second that was there is that religious theme of God and Aranaka and Samuel's bouncing back and forth of. Yeah, if God is real, those two big themes, and there were some sub themes as well, but that's the two that stood out the most for me, and were both handled well. But I would want a lot more development, though they were handled well. Like, are those two big ones you caught as well, or is there another? So
I liked the religious one a lot more than the prejudice one.
Want to talk the religious one first?
Yeah,
because that one, the bare bones of it, what I really liked is just kind of the Aranok having his perspective of. Looking at the world with this gloom and seeing the bad and the suffering, basically of the pessimistic view of doesn't believe God, he's a pessimist, where Samuel is an optimist and does believe in God, just showing how she has her faith and he doesn't. And he says at one point, hey, you don't choose what you believe, you just believe what you believe. It's you can't just force yourself into that, right? Mm-hmm. And that dynamic was good. There wasn't a conclusion to it. It's there as a theme. I just like the back and forth to think about.
It also didn't feel very one-sided or the other. It mm-hmm. left enough where both were enough interesting enough perspectives, and you had enough aside, not just the direct conflict, but Samuel and Alandria talking about it and how Aranok views things and what their perspective on Aranok is, and vice versa of mm-hmm. Aranok and Alandria talking about Samuel. So I liked that.
The quote here is, Aranok had never understood how the faithful maintain their unshakable belief in a benevolent God in the face of such misery. Again, how can you believe in God when there's such suffering? We've read so many books like that, and they're there. I like that it tied directly to their character, though, of the optimism versus pessimism aspect of it was neat. That theme was there. Then the next one, you said prejudice. You didn't like how that was handled?
Yeah. So ultimately, a problem that I had with this one, and maybe it'll take it in an interesting direction. Mm-hmm. I am afraid from what this book did, it will not take it in a direction I'm not expecting. In general, hey, you know, unjust prejudice is bad. Cool. Yeah. This book doesn't do completely unjust prejudice. That's a problem. That's like the... There's a particular scene as well that where so this whole thing, the Druid are the ones that are, hey, people are prejudiced against. They don't like the Druid. However, not really completely unjustified. The main, like, especially when we get to it, everyone believes like the main bad guy that has like they can raise the dead and cause this place like start of the war is this Druid of this unimaginable power. The fact that these other Druid have these great abilities that, like, you tick them off, they could not just kill you, but, like, raise the town to the ground and you can't stop them. Little different than just, like, a guy with sword. And to be fair, same vein of someone goes into a sword, they look like a big burly guy of, like, being afraid of them. You should be a little bit of afraid of the big guy with a big sword. Healthy fear is necessary. Same thing with the Druid. And... maybe this could have handled a little bit better. Mm. What I didn't like was a particular scene where Tavern Man is talking about, like, there's not that many Druid out there, and he's encountered, like, a handful that, like, at least the past three have trashed his, like, they came in and with his magic basically stole from him, trashed his place, and, like, it's not really presented as he's lying about it, but, like, mm-hmm. hey, these Druid have actually, like, I can't do anything about it to these people. And so, like, nope, magical people, you guys keep messing with me. No. And that's handled not with any degree of, hey, this is a little different than the standard prejudice we get in our world. This is a different situation. And it, the mm-hmm. characters handle it in the exact same way you would handle it in our world of, hey, this is an irrational prejudice. X, Y, and Z reasons why you shouldn't do that. This is based out of ignorance. That's the main argument of, like, hey, your prejudice is based out of ignorance. In this case, the prejudice is not based out of ignorance. That's the problem. It's not based out of ignorance. That's now, again, why I'm not going, like, oh, it's awful, is it doesn't go that far. They do enough to show the flashback scene of the little girl that's trying to feed everyone, and we have the religious zealot, like, she's a witch, kill her, and, you know, with Aronnax's niece of mm-hmm. this little girl, and just, like, how don't want her to grow up with people afraid and, like, afraid of her.
Okay, yeah.
So it does enough, but this is a, you're dancing a line of when the prejudice actually comes from a fairly real place, that this needs to be handled a little bit differently than we would handle in the real world, and I don't think it's going to handle it with any degree of nuance. That's kind of my thought. Compare this exact same thing with Red Rising. Red Rising handles this far more interestingly of the prejudice is part of it, but it is handles a little bit differently because the prejudice is rooted in literal genetic differences. Okay, so now we're dealing with genetic differences versus moral weight, and I find that far more interesting.
Oh, this, so what do you think the message or the theme of how it handled prejudice was, that that the prejudice, it didn't see, like, okay, so the
Aronnax and Alondria are coming across these characters prejudice, and yeah. going like, ah, these guys are completely ignorant and completely unbased, and it's stupid of them to ever think badly about Druids. And, like, they see it as, like, oh, these ignorant rubes. Mm-hmm. You can't, it's not the same. It's not.
Well, I don't think that's, like,
the... That's the problem.
I don't think that's the theme's problem. That's, like, the characters would think that, right? Because he's a droid, and he's prejudiced against, or, you know, he's not allowed, and you get that scene where he's not allowed into the tavern, and Samily goes in there on his behalf and says, hey, this isn't right. You know, he's the king's envoy. You better let him in. And he doesn't talk on the behalf. He's not allowed into the inn, essentially. So there's that scene where you see that prejudice against him, and obviously he's going to think it's very unfair. And and Alondria, who's his lover, well, for the meantime, as well. And also, so of course he's going to have that opinion, but I think I don't know if the book's saying exactly that of, like, hey, they're prejudiced for no reason, because I think it's very clear there's a good reason they're prejudiced. Doesn't make it right to be prejudiced against the Druid. No. But what it does do is, I mean, when we get the reveal at the end that there's a droid who's evil and convincing everybody and changing memories and swapping, showing how powerful the droid are and how evil they can be, and how this power being corrupted like that and being used to unconsensually destroy everybody's memories, wipe people, and cause a war like he did. Like, clearly there's evil droid. And so I don't know if the book's saying that the prejudice is, like, there's no reason for it. You think it's saying that?
I think
that?
It actually is. Mainly, there's a couple lines that just harken back to it, bring back to we're Americans. So there's a scene with Aronnax, his father, and his brother-in-law.
Okay.
And his father saying, like, basically calling Aronnax, Well, hey, no, you're one of the good ones. You're one of the good Druid. Mm. And Aranok going like, oh, that's a disgusting statement for him of like, I shouldn't have to be one of the good ones. You're calling the rest bad. You're calling the rest, like, you're othering me. And
says that?
He does. Well,
you're othering me?
I'm putting words into his mouth, but Aranok is disgusted by that. Of basically saying, like, I shouldn't have to be one of the good ones. That's the problem. Thing is, that ties directly into how many different, coming out of the, not during slavery, but during the civil rights movement of different white groups saying, like, hey, you're one, like, oh, no, like, hey, quite literally, like, from my own extended family. Like, I've literally had that statement come across to me of I've told the story before of, like, at a Thanksgiving dinner, cousin getting a little too drunk. I'm, you know, family down south, and going a little too, going a little too hard in the paint. And when he said the difference being, I pushed back against his racist tirade and said, like, hey, one of my best friends is black. That's not really valid. And he told me of like, hey, that's different. You have one of those, it's different. That's one of the good ones. Like, I feel like that it is completely analogous to, like,
okay, so black America. You're saying this, like, is being an allegory.
This is being an allegory. And you're not the same. I feel like this is a... you're making me side with a little bit with the actual prejudice. I'm sympathizing with the prejudiced, the actual racist Druid here.
Against a Druid.
Yeah, because I'm going, they're not completely wrong. Like, yeah, should it be like just a broad brush stroke? No, but also healthy fear of the Druid? Yes. They can wipe people's minds and raise the dead, and like, what can you do against them? Like, yes, healthy fear is justified in this situation. So I don't think it should be necessarily. Anyway, I feel like this is, it's clumsy. That's my.
Okay, I see
that's
your point.
Where I'm but, at.
Yeah, I see your point with it. I think with Aaron, but as a character, Aranok experienced that himself. I think, of course, he's going to feel that way. I don't think I saw that as from the prejudice point of view, from the inn in the tavern and it being kind of flippant of like, hey, don't come into my inn and what have the prejudice against Aranok. The prejudice he feels is bad, right? Certainly. But the reason that they are prejudiced, I think, is clear, at least, of why Druids being magic users and powerful. I don't take it as an exact allegory just because it's more tied to the magic and destruction in this world and them hating because of them having a justifiable reason to hate, even though they're wrong to hate Aranok and co.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if the book's necessarily saying that it's an allegory or so, but I guess that's a read of it, right?
I think it was pretty clear of the allegory of it, especially with the extreme that when they go back in time and see like, oh, witch, like clearly, hey, this is completely unjustified. I think it's a clumsy way to handle it. So
what I did like about it, because this is what tied the theme together for me personally, is the prejudice that people feel toward droids.
Druids.
You keep saying
droids, and they're not droids.
Druids. I'm not trying to. It's one of those. I have many speech impediments, clearly. But what made the theme, at least somewhat good to me, was the end puts it together so well, because the entire time Aranok has this memory of his own friend, Janice, and he thinks this of his friend Janice, and he thinks evil of the foe, Minigog. And he has all of these thoughts, and these are his opinions, and they're very clear. And he's so heartfelt. This is what he believes, and that's his friend, that's his buddy. And then in the end, when that flips, and he finds out, wait a second, everything I thought was wrong, all of my prejudices were wrong, in that way. Like I thought this was my friend. I thought this was the case, but in fact, my memory, I was misled. And I think that's what ties it together more of he himself as a character was like didn't have all the information and was led to believe this was his friend and this was his foe. That flips to show even our own character was prejudiced. So I think that's where it ties together thematically for me is the character's arc. That moment represents like he was also misled himself. So I see what you mean, but like more so, I think that thematically tied it for me to be like, oh, that's a interesting way to put it. I mean, I also thought the like how that tied together with the religious themes didn't satisfy me. They're like the religious themes were kind of, you know, just there and present, but at least that one tied it together for me.
I guess I just see it differently. If there were too many individual scenes of it was just the basic like, hey, look, prejudiced person bad. And like it was the basic scene, and then you have, you know, Aronoff's friends like stand up for him and show like.
Well, I'll help you out with this too, because like there's this line here which I'll agree with you. I have this more so in prose, but this can go into themes as well. And I'll explain afterwards. So there's the scene with Alondria and Samley talking. They're talking about how Samley is not interested in anybody and is asexual essentially. And the line Alondria says is. Sex is a wonderful thing between two people who want to do it. If you don't want to, then absolutely don't, and don't feel pressured to. Which, by the way, is all correct. That's all the correct thing to say.
That is all correct.
It's more so like you hear the line like that of making it clear, like, hey, let me make sure the message is very clear. Like, this is the putting in the correct message in the book.
Yeah.
But without the more nuanced stuff, like, I get how the individual line like that could come across as like, okay, this line is telling me message that I already know is like, yes, prejudice bad. And
there were a couple,
great. Yeah.
There were a couple of those moments where it did take you out a little bit of, they were using very, very specific, perfect language mm-hmm. to describe these things. And it was like very modern day kind of dialogue. And I was taken a little bit out. It was that scene. There was Samily, wanting to put on pants and the, you know, what, not seamstress, what Taylor going ahead. Like, but she's a girl. It's like, and they have that whole scene. It's like, it's really on the nose.
So you kinda, put that more in that section. Gotcha.
This isn't just a game. It's a once in a generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to HarlemGlobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Salt Lake, rise up. Love Salt Lake Volleyball is back January 2026, featuring some of the best players in the world, including two-time Olympic medalists Jordan Poulter and Haley Washington. High-flying attacks, epic rallies, and a matchday atmosphere with big-time energy. Now with more home matches for more volleyball excitement. Tickets start under $15. Visit lovbsl.com/iHeart today.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Go to Dutch.com to get vet care that is always there for just $92 a year.
Like, prose, mostly. Yeah, it just started to be a little bit more modern. Like, it kind of took me out of the immersion of it, just how it was written.
Gotcha. But as far as the themes go with that, how would you say, that, other than what we covered with the optimism and pessimism of God versus the prejudice, there was also like a little bit of dialogue scenes with Carfax. I know his name's not Carfax. Carfax.
No, I think it actually is Carfax.
No, it's not. It's, yeah, it is. It's Carfax, I believe. Oh, yeah,
I'm going to go with Carfax.
Show me the Carfax. So Carfax and Aronach were talking about information in the library of like, oh, what's allowed?
Yeah.
There was a little bit of that of information belongs to everybody and that sort of stuff. Yeah, what tied it together for me with the prejudice theme was certainly the memory wipe and how he was wrong all along about what he thought, which ties together with that theme of prejudice. So that thematic element really worked.
The opposite direction for me. If it doubled down of like, yeah, the Druid, like, I don't know. The people should be a little bit afraid of the Druid. Like one of the Druid quite literally wiped all of their memories and changed it. So like, they're not unjustified.
Yeah.
That's all right. I don't think that's the message the book wanted me to take from that, but.
Got it.
What I got from it.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. I guess we'll see where it continues to develop in the future books. But anything else for thought provokingness?
Nah, we can move on.
Characters. What'd you give that out of 5 stars?
Characters. 3.5. Good. I'll be honest. I'm tempted to raise it just because of scale and quality across the scale.
I gave it 3.75. Very good.
Yeah. I think all the characters are good. What's more impressive is that I thought all of the characters were good. Often in a large cast of characters, you'll have some standouts and some that really kind of drag.
Mm-hmm.
This one, no one dragged significantly.
Gotcha.
I was invested in all of them.
Yeah, I think we get a good amount of time with each of them too. And we get them separately before they come together. They all join together, then they all split up again.
Mm-hmm.
So we also get a little bit before, middle, after with each of the point of view. So which character stood out to you the most? We have Aronach as a protagonist we talked about a little bit.
Yep.
Anything about him or which character do you want to go with?
I think the next one after that we have the most amount of connection to, and I guess we get the most attention, is Samily, I think.
Yeah.
Because we get her in the beginning and her overcoming her... What would it? Not her being shy, but honestly, more slave mentality or servant mentality, if you want to be nicer about it, of she's kind of raised to say, like, I don't speak unless spoken to. I don't do, like, I listen to the monk's orders specifically. And then we have Mariston trying to, like, coax her out, like, nah, be your own person, make your own decisions, which she does. It's good. But then, yeah, her journey of faith and trying to grow beyond loss was good.
Yeah. And Samily is that she's also the most warrior of all of them, of just she kicks the most ass, as you could,
she does
as you could
kick
say.
Ass.
She does. And we have her and Mariston as the duo. How'd you like their dynamic and back and forth?
It was heartwarming. I liked to play it. They played it very straight. They didn't, it was just this father-daughter type relationship, and it was heartwarming to see Mariston really try to push Samily out of her shell of trying, like, he understands how dependent she is on him, and he's trying to get her to grow up and go beyond him. And I thought it was heartwarming.
Nice. And then we had Nurea and Glorabad and their dynamic, and obviously we had Aronach and Elantria. As far as duos went, did you have a favorite duo?
Mariston and Samily.
Mariston and Samily, yeah.
They were my favorite, closely behind Aronach and Elantria.
Okay.
What about you?
I'd agree, yeah. Mm-hmm. I think so as well. And I think the thing with, I cared a lot about Glorabad, but not as much about Nurea. And she is the and she's the queen, right?
Yes.
So we find out that she ends up being she's the true queen, and Glorabad ended up being a friend. He was an actual friend of Aronach and co. Mm-hmm. So Glorabad, what we get from his background is he was a general and a leader of this battalion. And he decided to switch sides. You know, this was his backstory, switch sides, and his soldiers were fighting each other, and that's what he saw. And he just lives with that moment, replays it in his head over and over again, seeing them fight. And that's why he's this grizzled man we see now. And we get a little bit about him in that background. We have Vastin, who's the blacksmith, who gets taken away a little early on because of the him being blackened by the plague. And we get enough of him
before that, though, mm-hmm. that I did like him, of this character trying to come into his own. He's very much the child trying to prove himself a little. You like him and Glorbad coming together. Like, you clearly see Glorbad does have a little bit of a soft spot. There's a reason why he was probably a good leader and mm-hmm. leading young men into battle. So, of course, that's probably going to work out there. So, yes. We don't get a lot of him, uh-huh. but I like the stuff we do get out of Aston. They don't spend too much time on him. They spend the right amount of time.
Yeah, I feel like we get that with a lot of the side characters, with Rasa and his family and Carfax. And all of them we get just enough time with. I think you're right, too. It's the feature about it is they're good, but they're all of the same, of similar quality, which makes it to do a wider cast of characters in that amount of time is the more impressive part, where you get Darg and Argyle as well, the farmer, and we get any other standouts. Moraine as well.
Is that how it's pronounced?
Moraine.
Moraine.
I might be pronouncing wrong. Moraine. But yeah, from all the characters, I got to say, to my Aranok, I think he is our protagonist for the most part. Mostly. And he, so his back, him and Elandria, I actually might like their dynamic the most, because
let's talk about their character dynamic, because with that twist ending, special. Oof.
And yeah, their character dynamic, like, him, Samley, and Elandria, I think, were the big character moments that were interesting and made them more unique, because him and having this opposition toward God, where Samley is saying she has belief and she is constantly reaffirming how God must be real, because look, if Mariston and Vastin didn't get touched by the plague, weren't blackened, right? Didn't have the plague, then how would she ever have figured out her healing was actually going back in time? And then I wouldn't have been able to save everybody. Look at all of this, and how basically, you know, that survivorship bias. If she was able to keep going and saying, look, without this, we would not be here constantly. I've survived 100% of my days. How can I be wrong about God when literally I'm 100% correct? Like, look at where we are. And without this, this wouldn't happen. And she's constantly saying that. Whereas we have the dynamic from Aranok, is then, and Elandria puts this the best, because she says this about Aranok, saying that there's a line where she says, you know, he doesn't believe in God, but when there's someone to blame, he'll blame God.
Oh, yeah.
He'll find someone to blame. He believes when there's something to blame.
He doesn't believe in God until there's no one to blame. Then he blames God.
Then he does blame God, yeah. Yeah. And so that shows you Aranok's character. I like he's got that edge to him. And yeah, that was a fun dynamic. So I think this, now that I'm thinking about it a little bit more, him and Samley, their back and forth was the most interesting to me.
Yeah, along with that, Aranok and Elandria, I did like their relationship dynamic through most of this, of just the tension between it. I liked how they felt that they had to keep the relationship secret because of the Kingsguard thing. And so you got the tension from they are a couple, but because of their stations, Elandria couldn't officially be with Aranok, and like that being an uncomfortable point of like, do I introduce you to my family that way? Like, can we ever really be married in that sense? Like, I liked that tension we had there, and seems like Elandria really deeply knows Aranok, so understands his flaws and tries to work with him and comfort him in right ways. Like, I liked their dynamic quite a bit.
Yes.
And now we find out they have, like, mutual,
they were very close friends. They
were very violated in
extremely, yes.
Yes. And so they're all their memories, like, they are very, very close friends, or as Aranok put it, like, as close as friends could be without, like, as close as people could be without actually being lovers.
Which, to show, so we get very little of Janison the antagonist here, right? We get very little of him actually, because he's at the beginning of the book. What I love about the ending as well is it makes Janice extremely twisted. It's not just one thing. It's level after level, where the touch that I like that it did for his character, that it makes him an antagonist, right? is he didn't just do this for the power portion. That's one thing. He did this all to take control and take power and wipe the memories. He actually wins the war. Our main characters lose the war and the memories are wiped. But on top of that, he also does things that seem superfluous and unnecessary. Like, why'd you put them into a relationship?
Yeah.
It was that a key part of your plan? Or why did you... There's several points in that in the end where he just did things that seemed like an extra push of making Mariston a monk and making him feel sad and bad about himself, of just pushing that onto him. Of like, you didn't have to... Why did you go the extra step to punish our main cast? And so we get like nothing of Janice, but just through the implication of that action, of what he did with the magic and the memory, makes him hateable. And I'm going, like, oh, you dirty bastard.
I also think it's not purely sadistic, too.
There could be more to it, too. Like, well, there's a reason.
The ending line he does give Aranok is, like, understand, like, I do this for the good of the kingdom. And, like, I do this for the good of all. Like, all these terrible, like, you don't know everything, but, like, I do it for the right reason. So mm-hmm. I think Janice does believe he's in the right. It's all generally good villains
generally do, yeah.
And so he thinks this is the right thing. My guess is he put Aranok and Elandria together because he thinks that would be right. Like, oh, you guys should have been. I'm being kind. I am being benevolent here. Like, I think you guys would have made a good couple, and so I'm just gonna make you a couple anyway. And like, Aranok, you are too. You were too afraid to actually ask Elandria, and like, so I'm just going to do it for you. That's my guess. Is that's his twisted like thought process behind it?
Yeah, I don't know.
But
if
then
he's
he also
go
sent
more...
him off to die. So who knows?
I don't know. Yeah, where that's going, because is he going the more the jackal route or not? Right? Because if he's sending them off to die and wants them, yeah.
Why do that?
Why try to give some kindness? Oh, like, hey, look what I gave you. That could be it too. Like, look, I am trying to give you some happiness in this twisted memory, because I know what I'm doing is controlling, manipulative, but I'm at least going to be kind while doing that. Could be his justification too, but whichever direction it makes it, the question there of why exactly did he do that? Things that I guess you're right could seem superfluous, but could be him and his justifying his madness in a way that could also certainly be it. But yeah, we get that. We get, anything else for side characters or main characters that stood out to you?
I am fairly sure we're going to get some interesting relationship dynamics between Aranok, Raza, and Elandria.
Mm-hmm.
So there's going to be something there.
Mm-hmm.
And I would be very curious. I think it would be bold decision. I don't know how it'll handle, but, like Aranok and Elandria, like how their relationship is going to go going forward after all this, like, tense. So
yes, yeah, it creates a lot of conflict for the future.
I can imagine a scenario in the story of like, hey, yeah, our relationship started false, like, yeah, our memories were manipulated that way, but after that point, like, we did share moments that I do care about you. So like, I wonder if like they will continue, like, yes, started off basically that they were mutually raped by a third party somehow, but they are still very close friends. It's not each other's fault that happened to them, and they do care about each other. And so, like, I wonder if it's going to go that way,
yeah,
or they are just going to, like, hard split, and it's just going to be like, nope, too awkward. We're going to stay friends, and even then, testy friends.
Mm.
And then Aranok and Raza, something with that. Because... hinted way too many times that he was very attracted to Raza.
And we're going to get our boy Vastin back at some point.
Oh, poor little Vastin.
At some point. He's coming back to us. Do you want to go on the plot?
Yeah.
What did you give plot out of 5 stars?
3.75. Really good. Really good plot.
4.5. Spectacular.
Yeah.
For me, yeah. So, the big stuff we've been talking about, why it's spectacular, is that ending did wow me. It's like, wow, that's such a great way to end this. And a couple of the things, I'll point out stuff before that, but we were talking about the scenes leading up to it, and we get armor on ground scene we talked about, of we get the smell from Elandria early on in the book, these kind of weird oddities, and it's a constant oddity after oddity. And
Well, honestly, just the whole journey in the first place and the weirdness.
All the things that could feel trite and cliche of, like, for example, why did Alandria and Anorak have to keep the relationship quiet? That's, like, why do they have to do that? I guess it made sense while I was reading it of going, okay, I guess so, but in the back of my mind, I'm going, like, okay, it's just like a fun little plot thing they're adding in.
It was just added in there for artificial tension.
Yeah, that's what it felt like. It was like, all right, artificial tension, got it. But then the end, all these little things that you think would just be, oh, like classic fantasy trite kind of stuff, is all because their memories are completely wiped and changed and manipulated. And it puts all of those things and boom, 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 connects the dots all at once, which is great. So that was very fun to see. The ending portion too, where Meningog is talking to him and convincing him, like, hey, buddy, I'm going to try to remind you here. Remember back to what was happening. Look, think. When that was happening, you were saying you thought that he was└in cahoots □with Janus, and you thought that was the villain trying to convince him.
Oh, no, before that.
At that point.
When he started, I was like, oh, okay, I see
it
now.
Got it.
But before they went in, before Aranok went and confronted evildoer. How is it pronounced? Meningog.
Meningog, I believe.
Meningog. Yeah. Before he confronted him, I was like, ooh, I think it's going to be like some twist where they're working together, or Meningog is like the puppet from Janaeus, whatever.
Yeah, why the plot was awesome to me too is we get, I think everything was just well introduced in the correct order. It was so well plotted in getting the correct information at the right time where it would be a lot less fun than just, okay, no, that Samhelie is the time, goes back in time person, got it. No, her starting off believing she's a healer and unique in God's image.
Mm-hmm.
And that's who she is. That's her identity. And then finding out when she finds out about her power after we get Vastin and Mariston. Sorry, I'm saying butchering the names a little bit when I talk
Mariston,
quicker.
You got it.
Oh, thanks. When they are now black and have the curse, and she finds out instead of her being a healer, she goes back in time. And the way we find that out is an awesome scene where because Vastin is cut under the armpit, I believe, or somewhere. Vastin is cut and needs healing. So, needs cut and needs healing. So they take off the curse because they figure out that, oh, wait, actually everybody that has the plague is actually a curse by some necromancer or something of the sort. So they get rid of the curse, and now she has to heal him so he doesn't die. Exactly. Yeah. So gets rid of the curse, has to heal him so he doesn't die. But by doing that, finds out, oh, instead of her actually, she doesn't just heal people. Her function is time goes backwards. So what happens is goes back in time while he still had the plague and curse. And now she gets that scene right there, the reveal of that she goes back in time. Because, okay, time going back in time, that's a magic function stuff. But the way that the plot handles getting that reveal moment, awesome. Loved that. And then paying it off more with having the poison scene happen of seeing characters go away, and then she uses her power to go back in time. And then the other time we see it with the witch, and the final scene when we're approaching Meningog. All of that was well done. Yeah.
Of which, the guy that poisons him, that's one of the Hellfire Club members, right?
Yeah.
Which one?
The Necromancer, right?
That's the Necromancer.
I believe so, just because remember he had the people around him that were just the servants, the boys there?
Mm.
I think that was the case, was they were... more the necromancer guy. And then we have our memory wiper, which would make sense. Because
That's why he didn't remember. So we have the necromancer. Mm-hmm. We have
memory wiper.
Memory wiper. And then lastly was the demon summoner.
Yes,
which I believe we get in the epilogue.
I think so. It was such a short epilogue.
Also, was she eating his leg? Think she was cannibalizing him.
Okay. I think so, right?
I didn't fully
understand the epilogue, I'll be honest. Yeah.
I didn't either.
Yeah, so
yeah.
I figured next book I read that'll be more context.
Yes.
I don't have the full answer for that. But so the way that these otherwise simple plot elements were introduced was woven together awesome. I thought that was the best part about it. And then obviously the end scene, which we were talking about, lovely. And it's also one of those twists that I will think back to this book, and it'll be a standout feature of, oh, you changed a little bit.
Moving it up to great, yeah. So
to four or something,
at least a four.
To me, it's one of those standout features of the I'll think back to this book, and what will I remember mostly will be that plot point and that moment of that's a not just a fun idea, but the execution behind it too. Yeah, all that, loved it. Also, the death scenes worked as well, but if, you know, why not floor me?
The minute to higher? Minute, maybe not at, you feel more like it's a side quest. Mm. Yeah, it kept my attention mainly because of the characters, but the plot itself was more meandering. We're going on. I'm not as invested in the plot for most of the book until the ending. It's like, oh, it will all puts it together.
I did even like the questions of course, that gets answered at the end too. Of wait, why is this hometown fine?
Yeah,
what? Why is it okay? And so there's all these lingering questions in the back of your mind as well, which is great to see. And I really like Anorak's. Even though it meanders somewhere, I also like the objective there of the character who's told to go to a place. He's like, nah, I need to go check on my family.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, normal person.
Yeah. King comes in and tells you, hey, guess what, Aranok? Your entire family has been overrun by Black. They're all gone. Like, the walls are breached. They're all dead. Don't go there.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, I'm going to go see if my family maybe made it out.
Like, right now.
Like, right now.
And, okay, another thing I like, too, this character's going to plot a little bit, but with him and the split up happening, him having this reluctance to go to the queen, the reluctance to actually accomplish what the king wanted him to. One, again, being answered, he had this somewhat reluctance because deep down the memories, and he had a feeling something was strange probably because of the whole memory wipe. But also him having that big reluctance had the other three characters. So Glorabad, Meristin, and who was the third with them? Nerea, was it with them? The three. Had them questioning at one point. Like when they went and saw that it was a failure, of wait, this was just a dead end. Nothing's here. Had them questioning
Aranok.
Wait a second, is he a part of this? Or wait, is it? It now had them leading, like, who's betraying them? Which us as the reader are going, it's probably not Aranok, right?
But then, but it was
it was an actual conflict. I wish that
went on a little bit longer.
I agree. Yeah,
because that in the moment, yeah, you're right. Mm-hmm. Aranok did not want to go there, and now that is part of it. He didn't want to go there. That's good evidence to,
yeah,
it's probably not his trap. Mm-hmm. But he did separate them.
Yep.
He deliberately did not want to go and let everyone else go. He took the healer. So,
I like that too.
Fair enough.
That was great tension too. And yeah, if anything, just add more of that good tension. That was great stuff.
I wish that lasted for more than like the end of a chapter, and then as soon as the next chapter went, it's like, it's probably not Aranok. I'm like, darn.
yeah, fair enough.
Let it linger. Let us stew in that, you know? But whatever.
Yeah, agreed. And the ending too, like, if anything, I the last two chapters of the book were just, I'm hooked to the page of what reveal after reveal. You get that moment of if we got another couple more of that, please. Lovely. I'm so curious to see if book two, if it can't function with the same trick, of course. Yeah. So how will it be going forward? Is it one of those where the book one has that standout plot twist, and then the next one, is it more typical, traditional, classic fantasy? I'm not sure. I'm very curious.
Even if it's more standard, Justin has proven himself to actually, or Justin Lee Anderson has proven himself to actually do pretty good character work. And like, I enjoyed the day to day moments, like the minute to minute moments with these characters. So I don't mind if this next book doesn't like super duper plot twist. I don't think it needs that.
Nick, you can
could do it. But
yeah, Nick, I don't know if you're going to quote me on this, but yeah, this book made me realize why people like Wheel of Time. A little bit. I got a little bit of that.
How so?
Because you know how you gave an example reference, like, oh, it's at your same classic Wheel of Time-esque. Like, even the scenes where not much was happening, I was going like, okay, I get the point of, okay, not that this was a revelation, or this is the first time I've seen a book where characters sit down and talk to one another, but I was going there like actually interested in, unlike Wheel of Time, I was actually interested in what was going on. And so I was going, okay, yeah,
One of these days, years down the line, you're going to come to the Wheel of Time and go, you know what? I actually appreciate the tropes. I like the client. Like, it's, you're going to go from cliche to, oh, it's an homage, and you're going to love it.
What I liked about this book is it was classic. My whole thing I love is also the triteness was also had this plot twist that made it in a new perspective, and it was because it kind of went against the grain a little bit. I just don't think, I don't like the farm boy, okay? Farm boys, get the hell out.
Yeah, after book two, like after book one, he's no longer farm boy anymore.
No, book two, book three, book four, he's still the same farm boy.
By book two, he's not a farm boy.
I'm just poking the bear. Yeah. all right, do you want to go on to world building?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's go on to world building.
What did you give it out of 5 stars?
3.75. Really good.
I gave it 3.5 good.
Yeah. The main... A big reason of why I would give this a little higher is I'm asking more about the world. Throughout most of this, I'm curious about what this war was. I want to know more about the history of it. I think it ties together really well of the interaction between the people, the king. It all worked really well. So I thought it was established well. I want to know more about the Reavers. Well established. If you're getting me to ask questions about your world, you're doing a good job.
Yes, definitely the history of the world's a more interesting question part of it, of what's the deeper layer there. I think the package of the world building, the plot delivery of how we get the information is more interesting than the world itself, even though I do like the world where I can see the complaint of it being, you know, your cliche, hey, you got the tavern area, you got your magic area here, your cozy fantasy-esque style stuff, which I like that atmosphere.
It's classic.
It was a fun atmosphere, okay?
It's a classic fantasy.
I loved the atmosphere and scene to scene, but also the thing that does make it good to me, too, is this being the Lost War and getting to understand our antagonists now. Now I'm so interested in the character history, what happened before then, of with the Hellfire, of, by the way, Stranger Things, Hellfire Club. It made me think of that as well.
Yeah.
Of what's going on with the Hellfire Club here. And yeah, it's making me ask questions about the story feels lived in before we got here. And if world building can do anything, it's before, it lives off the page both before the story starts and after. And this really effectively got it to, okay, before this story started, there's a whole history between these characters. And what do you mean that this person's the queen and the Reavers? Oh yeah, the reveal that the Reaver, that's another thing too that connected with the plot of the Reavers are actually
their allies
trying to, like, hey. And then the more you're killing the allies, there makes it look like an actual war, like how
it'll eventually be a war.
How cool is that?
Yeah,
I mean evil but cool. And that's another plot thing, not world, but I just want to tag that on. So that was good. And what do you think about the magic system and the droids?
Yeah, the droids magic system.
The droids robots doing their thing, yeah.
It's fine. I will say a lot of... So I was having some good eye roll moments of many times they're saying, like, oh, they're like, I've never heard of a time druid or something where they're like, mind druid is impossible. And all these things of like, oh, this is impossible. This is impossible. Of like, there's never been druids with two skills. I'm just kind of looking at it like, all of it seems real loosey-goosey. Of just like, there doesn't seem to be much of a system. It's just like, yeah, these people can, like, their skill is metamorphosis, and this person is the Avatar.
Our main character is the Earth guy. He can affect the Earth, air, and so forth.
Yeah, we got the Avatar. We got changelings. We got... you know, time travelers, you just got whatever. And so when one of them says, like, oh, that's impossible, I'm like,
it's possible.
Really? Seems like really anything's possible with this.
You're
magic
telling me
system.
The freaking earthbender doesn't believe in God?
It's a good point. It's a good point. Like, so
you can bend air. What do you mean?
Like, you have.
You are magic.
It's a way less visit. Now, to be fair, it's the world, it's their physics, but also...
it is their physics.
But also, their physics isn't very... Like, he says a word, and the elements of the world bow to his will.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like, oh, I'm using this magic science thing. Like, it's just pure wind do
I,
what
I
want.
I understand why Samilia... Oh my God, am I...
Samily.
Samily. I understand why Samily does believe in God. She goes, I'm a healer.
Yeah,
I'm like the only one. Of course, I'm God's chosen. I'm his servant.
Honestly, yeah. Even finding out she's a time druid is like, I'm a time druid. I literally can control the fabric of time. God would only let his chosen have this power. The reason why it's rare is obviously we can't let, like, God is going like, hey, not too many mortals can have this time druid power. I'm going to put God's chosen one.
Have you also stared in the mirror and tried to, like, move air or something with your hands for several minutes in the bathroom, in bed?
Recently?
Yeah.
No, not recently. But
I love how you added that recently. It's been, you know, it's for me, it's been like several months.
Yeah.
Maybe weeks, if I'm being honest. Days, if I'm being generous.
I think the last moment is like fever dream delirious state in bed, can't move, and you see your water bottle. On the edge, just like
telekinesis.
Please, if there's a God, give please.
That reminds me of back at this was like towards COVID time when gyms were like just reopening back up, and remember you went to the gym with me, and we were helping our buddy move the following day. We were helping him move, but the day before we go to the gym together, you went catatonic.
Oh,
for
yeah.
3 days straight. I remember vividly how you couldn't move your... This is no exaggeration. You couldn't move your body.
Oh, yeah.
It was so much so that you... I know you would have helped our friend. We've moved people a bunch of times, but the next day, you couldn't get out of bed.
Yeah, I was literally...
To move our friend.
Bound. I had to get out of bed. I couldn't, sit up. I had to, flop onto the ground, onto my hands and knees, and crawl up the wall.
Yes.
It was bad.
It was... I was genuinely concerned. Dom's, delayed onset muscle soreness. It's that.
Yeah.
But I didn't know if it was, a medical condition you had. It was that bad.
Well...
It was awesome.
A good thing about... I can actually, when I hit the gym, I actually go to failure. I don't.
Oh, it,
I don't.
You went to
I
failure
don't
that day.
Out. Yes. I actually hit failure. And it's the reason I actually do get gains. Like, I actually have improved over time. It's good. Yeah.
No, that's the thing you should do. Yes.
It's what I should do.
If your muscles aren't burning, you're not learning.
Day one of full body workout, and I go to maximum. And I'm like, every ounce of strength went out of me. My muscles, every muscle in my body punished me.
I remember looking over at you doing the visual of you. I'm thinking during the actual workout, because we were going back and forth, let's do this for this many reps for this many sets. Da 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 da. Rich. You only had to do this many. You're like, thinking in my head, you're going to feel that. Yeah,
I did.
Oh, it's so good. Okay. But yeah, this world building with an Eden itself, we got our different. Getting to come back to the cozy places was nice because it makes it feel a little bit more lived in. I like that in this one book, we got to go back to Morinstown and to his hometown several times. That was fun to be able to revisit.
I do like that.
I always like that stuff.
Yeah.
If you go and then leave, it always feels just like, you're going to different checkpoints versus, that's a shared bond of a location. It's just the return is cool. That there and back again and that we love it with the Shire is always fun.
No, seeing someplace again, even if it's not that far, like a few chapters and you go back, it makes it feel more lived in and not
another
completely real
time thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else until we go to pros?
No, let's move on.
Pros, would you give it out of 5 stars?
I gave it a 3.25. Somewhat good.
I gave it 2.75. Somewhat disappointing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought it was fine. The reason is many of the dialogue scenes, I liked the banter back and forth, the big bonus here is the character voices, I think, worked pretty well. I think each of them had their unique style of writing or each style of dialogue. I liked that. The descriptions were fine. The fight scenes were fine as well. What dragged for me is a couple of the more heavy-handed scenes, whereas kind of like the moral message scenes, those were a little heavy-handed, felt far more modern prose, modern dialogue. I was kind of taken out of this, you know, fantastical world. I will give credit to a particular scene that is the exemption, is Nyria? Got it. I got it that time. Nyria. When she is explaining her her tragic past and she's talking to Samily about sex and this whole dialogue scene, like, I think that was handled very well and not just, like Itch said, I thought it was done very emotionally and fit the scene as well. Nyria explaining what happened to her and how she moved on and how she grew from it. Mm. I thought that's one of the better scenes in the whole book, I think. And I think the writing was really well done there.
Yeah, the action and descriptions in general, really well done. I think, yeah, given more, there's somewhat disappointing. Well, first I'll say a line I like. This is from Mariston. Words are easy weapons when fear is the enemy. Oh, what a cool line. I highlighted that one. I thought it was neat. But yeah, more so on the, it was very serviceable prose. Because when we say our 5-star prose, we're saying the word replicable of, hey, this prose stylist that is, that you should emulate. You can tell it's them. They're an auteur, that kind of thing. And the 1-star is distracting. And this just leaned more toward distracting with the stuff you're talking about with, it was more so getting the more epic fantasy classic feel with some of the prose and getting that in the descriptions, and then some of the dialogue lines feeling like it was my friend that just said that, or yeah, you know, it was modern day dialogue, and that threw me as there were just distracting lines of going. It reminded me that this was a book that was being written versus, you know, you want that magic act of being able to pretend, oh, this, there's no author, the author's dead, right? which we won't debate about that again, but you want to actually feel that way when you're reading something and not think consciously that it's being written. And there was those moments there of going, okay, we're going more from a high fantasy feel in the secondary world. And I didn't put this in the world, but I put this in prose, because the only times I was taken out of the world was then when we got character line that was so on the nose, that kind of thing. Yeah. We talked about the sex is a wonderful thing between two people who want to do it. If you want to do it, then absolutely don't, and don't feel pressured to. Like that line, again, correct. Don't feel like that. That is a correct moral message. But the problem with that saying, go ahead.
Everything before that of her describing her the past, I think was handled very differently. It was handled in character. It felt like what the character would say.
Like, don't put that line of dialogue, and I have no problem. Right? It's just like, yeah, it's just like giving the line there of telling you, like, hey, this is the, hey, reader.
Yeah.
It was that type of thing. Another one that comes to mind, too, of... it didn't bother me that... Just
Carfax and Aronnax. Carfax and Aronnax talking about freedom of information, and Carfax argument to Aronnax, because Aronnax like, everyone should know everything. We should... all information should be public knowledge. And Carfax was, well, what if there was a book that said women are property? And Aronnax's like, oh, well, nuts. I guess we shouldn't be completely free with information in books. Mm. It's like, a little on the nose.
Yeah,
like,
another one of those two.
All right, fine. Couldn't come up with something a little bit more personal or...
Character-related
or world-related. It just seemed very... modern day.
Mm-hmm. Like that same line, you could have even been like, what if there was a book where it said all droids, or like leaned into the prejudice portion of his character? Like, that would have
made
line.
Way more
instead
sense.
Of like making it just seemed offhand to go like, wait, why are we talking about wives being property to their husbands? Like, that was never a point in the book. Mm-hmm. It just feels like that was planted in there. Whereas if you go like, yeah, what if there's a book where it shows droids and like it shows droids. It shows the C-3PO, like how the animosity toward them is justified. And look at this, and da, da, da. That would have connected this character to the world, etc. Mm-hmm. So things like that, just going like, oh, keep it in world, you know. But otherwise, overall, great book to me. The plot was the standout feature with some really good characters to connect to. The weaker part for me was prose, but didn't matter too much. And yeah, all in all, this is our fourth overall on the SPFBO order and list. I think that's about comfortable with that is too. I was thinking, in my head, I was thinking third or fourth.
I was too. Definitely, as of now, four and up are definite recommends of like, mm-hmm. people should give them a shot. The Rambler recommend approves there.
Yeah. And anything else you want to conclude with of good book you enjoyed?
Yeah, good book. I am interested to see what book two will do and how it's going to be different without the big plot twist. How is the author going to handle that? Mm-hmm. I do think he does a really good job with these characters, so I'm excited for book two. Let us know down below what you guys saw in the book, or if you're some sicko that listens to our video without actually reading the book and just like spoilers, let us know what you think of this book that you have not read. And if you guys are interested with us reading book two, let us know if your interest is there for it. And we'll catch you guys in the next video.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.